This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I want everyone to be very careful to not make this a problem of Jewish people. Rather, this is one group of extremists, genocidal, racist, apartheid-driven extremists called the Zionists. It is about them. They are the ones who are doing these crimes. They are the ones who are dropping these bombs on children. Every oppressor, every zalim, every tyrant, every genocidal maniac eventually self-destructs. This is self-infliction before anything else. These people who are bombing children in Gaza, they are killing their souls before they kill a child. They are killing any claim to humanity, any claim to anything decent. They are killing that before they kill a child. When they shoot the rocket, when they send the rocket to a hospital, to a civilian area, they are already dead. These people are dead. Spiritually dead. They have no life. They have no mind. They have no brain. They have no moral values. They are finished. And when people become like that, selfish, sadistic animals, when they become like that, they cannot last very long. I can guarantee you that. I'm a student of history. No civilization, no dynasty, no king, no establishment, however powerful it may be, lasted when it started to inflict such oppression on other people. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamil anbiya wa sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi al-ghurr al-mayameen wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi as-samil alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لا يرحم لا يرحم. Respected brothers and sisters, today I will be addressing the ongoing catastrophe in Palestine, in particular Gaza, where a genocide of the innocent women, children and men is taking place. This is an unprecedented event that's taking place right in front of our eyes, whereby the whole world is watching and feels powerless to do anything effective to stop the genocide. To the contrary, we have journalists and politicians trying to justify the mass murder of thousands of children in particular and civilians in general. You will find many Western politicians working as apologists for this genocide. Many journalists who have sold out to their Zionist masters are trying to play games using words like legal interpretations to justify the genocide of these children. I can guarantee you, if this was taking place in Ukraine, if these images were coming out of Ukraine, the Western media would be running marathons. And this double standard, this hypocrisy was exposed by the social media, mainstream media, which is in the hands of these people who are justifying the genocide in Palestine. You will never hear the truth from them. When they were dealing with the crisis in Ukraine, rightly so, they were condemning the killings of innocent people in Ukraine, rightly so. When they were talking about Russian aggression against children and women and civilian areas being bombed, rightly so, the same people now are finding it difficult to use the same strong language against the Israeli Zionist aggression. For some reason, they have gone deaf, dumb, and blind. And the world has woken up. You don't need the Muslims to scream and shout in the streets anymore. This global hypocrisy on an industrial scale, on an astronomical magnitude, unprecedented level of hypocrisy and double standards, is being exposed for what it is. And I want to clarify from the get-go, some Zionist propagandists, they try to play this game that this is an anti-Semitic exercise. This is global anti-Semitism. So what they want is, they want the whole world to accept the genocide of innocent Palestinian children, and anyone who criticizes them for their actions, they accuse those people, to shut them up, of anti-Semitism. So let me clarify from the get-go. This is not about the Jewish people. The Jewish people have nothing to do with this. The Jewish people have been coming out in large numbers like never before. In New York, there was a protest by the Jewish people. They came out in the thousands and they said, "Not in our name. Never again for everyone, not for the Jewish people only." You know this slogan, "never again"? This actually refers to the Holocaust. Nazi Germany, they killed millions of Jewish people, civilians, innocent people. They were sent to gas chambers by Hitler and his establishment. And then this slogan came out, "never again." Absolutely never again. Never again for everyone. Never again for any human being. Never again even for animals. We cannot tolerate the genocide of anyone or anything. Never again for all people. And this is what the Jewish people have been saying in New York lately, in the thousands. So this is not about the Jewish people. I want everyone to be very careful to not make this a problem of Jewish people. Rather, this is one group of extremists, genocidal, racist, apartheid-driven extremists called the Zionists. It is about them. They are the ones who are doing these crimes. They are the ones who are dropping these bombs on children. So, make no mistake. How did this all start in the first place? I want to talk about the history very, very quickly. This land called Palestine belongs to all people. It doesn't belong to one group of people. Anyone who claims that is simply mistaken, because the land of Palestine was inhabited by many different nations, different religions, at different times. Even the Israelites came to the land of Palestine from outside. If we are to believe that the Israelites are the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then the land that belongs to them is Haran in Turkey. Go and take that land, because that's where the origin is. The father of the Israelites and the Ishmaelites, the father of the Jewish people and the Arabs, who was that? Abraham. The Israelites and the Arabs, they trace their lineage back to a man called Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Where was he born? According to most reports, he was born in current-day Turkey, in a city called Haran. And he was active in Mesopotamia as a young man when he started to preach the religion of monotheism, or what we call Islam today, alhamdulillah. So, if any claim is to be laid upon a land, then it should be that part of Turkey. It belongs to both the Arabs and the Israelites. because they are the children of Ibrahim. It doesn't make sense. If the Arabs turned up today in Harran or in Turkey, in that territory, and said, this land belongs to us because it belonged to our father came from here. They have a right to say that, right? But it wouldn't make sense. Those people would say, okay, yeah, that's true. That's nearly 3,000 years ago. He was here, but he moved away, right? So when people claim that this land only belongs to one group of people, this is gross error. This is anachronism. This is a mistake, to put it politely. Okay? And amazingly, a lot of these people who are claiming this, using this idea that this land was promised to the Israelites, okay, they don't even believe in God. I'm not talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about the Zionists. Many of them are disbelievers. They don't even believe in God. They don't believe in God. Many of these Zionist IDF soldiers and generals and colonels and Israeli politicians, they are atheists. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in God, but they believe in His promise. When you ask them, why do you occupy this land? They say, this land belongs to us because God promised it. Do you believe in God? No, we don't. It's ironic. Okay? Jewish people lived with the Muslims for over 1,000 years. Muslims protected the Jewish people from extinction. I will come to address that very, very quickly in due course. So the Israelites came to the land of Palestine after Moses. Moses has liberated them from the tyranny of Pharaoh. And this is historically attested, by the way. This cannot be contested. So the people of Israel, or the tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob, Yaqub, alayhi salam, who was also called Israel. Okay? And the word Ismail and Israel has similarity, right? Il is basically Allah. The word Allah is El, Ilaha, in the Hebrew language. Okay? Elohim, Il, El, Ilahi, Allah. The root word is exactly the same. Ismail means God hears, God listens. Okay? So, Ismail was a brother, half-brother of Ishaq. Ishaq, alayhi salam, had a son called Jacob. Yaqub, also called Israel. He had 12 sons. Their children lived in Egypt. And they were brutalized by the family of the Pharaohs, or this dynasty called the Pharaohs, for centuries. So then comes this prophet called Musa alayhi salam, also known as Moshe. He liberates them. He brings them towards Palestine. And then after he dies, the Israelites take the land of Palestine. And to be precise, when Dawud alayhi salam, King David, is in power, he takes the city of Jerusalem. And then this piece of land, 35 odd acres of land, called the Temple Mount, is chosen as the sacred space to build the temple. Suleiman alayhi salam, the son of Dawud alayhi salam, he builds the first temple, which is called Masjid al-Aqsa, mentioned in the Quran specifically as one of the holiest sites of Islam. Islam honored this place. Islam protected this place. Islam revived this place. Muslims came and gave the honor to this holy site, this holy sanctuary, the honor it deserved, as we will see. So Suleiman alayhi salam, he decides to build this temple. The people, the original people of this land, were called the Canaanites or Canaan. And they were driven out, or they were conquered by the Israelites. In particular, Dawud alayhi salam, King David, he took the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is an ancient name of this city. You can find this name mentioned in ancient sources. So, after Dawud alayhi salam consolidates his power, his son comes to power, also a prophet of Islam, Suleiman alayhi salam, or a biblical prophet also, an Israelite prophet. He builds the first house of Allah to worship, dedicated to worship of Allah, one God. And this is the place we call Masjid al-Aqsa. Long story short, after the death of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Israelites split into two states, the northern state of Israel and the southern state of Judea, with its capital as Jerusalem. The northern state, called the state of Israel, had its capital called Samaria. Okay? And then another dynasty, another civilization called the Assyrians, they attack the northern state and they take 10 Israelite tribes into exile, never to be found again. Never. They disappear from history. And then what is left of the Israelites is two tribes, the Benjamites and the Levites. They are ruling from Judea, this place called Judea with this capital, Jerusalem. And then comes another catastrophe called the Babylonian exile, when the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, attacks in 587 BC, he attacks the city of Jerusalem and completely destroys the temple built by Sulaiman alayhi salam. So the temple of Solomon, Masjid al-Aqsa, was completely demolished, razed to the ground by the king of Babylon, the Iraqi king at the time. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, Bukhtonasar. Then another dynasty, a Persian dynasty called the Achaemenids, they defeat the Babylonians and take this land of Babylon. So one of the kings called Cyrus the Great, he allows the Israelites to come back to the land of Palestine to rebuild the temple. This happens in 537 BC, before Christ. They come back and they build the temple again for the second time. So the temple of Solomon is resurrected again the second time. Okay? And then follows the Greek period soon after. Alexander the Great comes. He takes this land, and then the Israelites become Hellenized. Hellenized means they start to adopt Hellenic culture, Greek culture. So they tried to Hellenize Judaism, or whatever the religion of Israelites was at that time, because the religion of Israelites has not survived in its purest form, as we know from the Tanakh or the biblical text. It's not pure. We don't have the actual writings of the prophets as they had left them behind, because we don't even know what language Moses spoke. Musa alayhi salam, he received revelation. Water, please. He received revelation in his language. If you ask a Jewish rabbi today, a scholar of Judaism, what language Moses spoke, they have no idea. No one knows what language Moses spoke. So where are those teachings of Moses? What language did he receive the Torah in? They don't know. So what we possess today is basically translations made from the originals of Musa alayhi salam that were lost long time ago. So what we have are the remnants of the messages of Israelite prophets. Effectively, Muslim prophets. These prophets were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were all Muslims. They worshipped the same way. They had the same message. The message was what? La ilaha illallah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one Lord. This was the message of all Israelite prophets. And if you look at their worship, how they prayed falling in sajda. If you go to the worship of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa, Harun, Dawood, Sulaiman, and Daniel later on, and then Isa alayhi salam, consistently one message, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And how do you worship that Lord? Falling on the ground on your face. For example, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 39, we are told that Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he falls on his face to pray to God. How do you fall on your face? How do you fall on your face to pray to God? Sajda, prostration, what the Muslims do today. So we are actually following the purest form of the religion those prophets brought. And the Quran came as a muhaimin, as a protector, as a guardian over the messages that came with the Israelite prophets and were altered. So those Israelites who were influenced by the Greek culture, they tried to Hellenize Judaism or whatever the Israelite religion was. And then there was a revolt called the Revolt of Maccabees. Some traditionalists, some people who wanted to hold on to the Israelite tradition, they revolted and then they came to power. They ruled. Then soon after came the Romans. And Romans started to rule this province called Judea. Up to this point, the Israelites are still there. Okay, the Israelites are still there in the land of Palestine, in the city of Jerusalem. Okay. Then came the grand catastrophe. As a result of the rejection of true prophets of Allah, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus came, and the Israelites, most of them, disbelieved in him. They rejected him, and many Israelites followed him. He had many followers, many believers. In fact, the earliest Christians in the land of Palestine were Israelites. They were Israelites. Okay? And they are mentioned as Ebionites. In Christian histories, they are called Ebionites. These were Muslims. These people believed in Isa alayhi salam and his message. They did not reject him. While others, the temple authorities, the Munafiqeen, who were in the temple at the time, okay, two groups in particular, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they rejected Isa alayhi salam and his message. And the Quran alludes to this point. The Quran actually mentions this indirectly. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم. That the disbelievers from the Israelites were cursed by Dawud alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. They were cursed. Which disbelievers? Those who rejected these prophets and the teachings. And Isa alayhi salam came to warn these temple authorities that do not be hypocrites. Follow Allah. Many followed him. Many believers, many Israelite believers, they believed in him. And they recognized him as a true prophet of Allah. Others did not. And then Isa alayhi salam warned them that a catastrophe will strike you. If you don't follow, if you don't obey Allah, a catastrophe will strike. And what happens? Soon after, 70 CE, Romans come hard on the Israelites in the land of Palestine and they decimate them. They destroy the temple, never to be built again. Only to be built by Muslims later on. In 70 CE, the Romans, a general called Titus, who became an emperor later on, he destroys the temple. Then whatever remains of the Israelites in the city of Jerusalem, in the land of Palestine, okay, they revolt again. In 132 CE, they revolt again. And this time, they were banished once and for all, never to return to the land of Palestine. Then starts diaspora, the Jewish Israelite diaspora. Okay, the Jewish people were banished from the land of Palestine on pain of death. If any Jew was found during the Roman period in Palestine, he would be killed on the spot. This was the decree of the then emperor of Rome called Hadrian. You know about the Hadrian's Wall? Hadrian's Wall in Britain, it goes through the city of Newcastle and it stretches from coast to coast, northern Britain. This was a wall built by Emperor Hadrian. He ruled as his territory as far as Britain. He was a very powerful emperor. In his time, the Israelites revolted again in Palestine under a messianic figure called Bar Kokhba. The revolt of Bar Kokhba, it was crushed severely by the Romans, and the Israelites were killed and were banished, exiled forever. And the city was leveled. The city of Jerusalem was razed to the ground. And it was renamed as Elia or Elia after the name of the Emperor Elias Hadrianus, Emperor Hadrian. And then the Jewish people or the Israelites were not able to come back to the land of Palestine and live in peace. They were not allowed to come back. First by the Romans, and later when the Romans came to Christianity, when they accepted Christianity. Now, when Romans became Christianity, things turned even more sour for the Israelites. You know why? Because the four Gospels accuse the Israelites, the Jewish people, of killing Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ to Christians? God. So the Jewish people had this stigma attached to them for centuries to come, that these are the people who killed God. And the people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, were persecuted throughout Christendom or throughout Christian history. Subsequently, they only survived because some Christian authors and church fathers wrote that they are to be left alone as witnesses to the truth of the Lord. They are the carriers of the Old Testament that has prophecies about Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you kill them off, we have no one to refer to as the witnesses to testify to the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord. This was the idea. So when Christians came to power through the Romans, when the Roman emperors started to accept Christianity, starting from Constantine the Great, and then thenceforth, almost every single Roman emperor was a Christian. And later on, they became staunch Trinitarians. They adopted the Catholic creed. They started to force everyone to accept that creed. So the Jewish people were not allowed to return to the land of Palestine on pain of death. They were not allowed. Okay, they tried many times coming back, but they were not allowed. So what happens? The Muslims come. They take the land of Palestine during the reign of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh. Okay, this is the first time the Jewish people are allowed to return to the land of Palestine. And they will live in this land in peace, in harmony with Muslims for the next 1,300 years. This is where the story begins. This is where the Zionist propaganda is put to rest. Okay, when they say that, you know what, we need a state to protect ourselves. We are a persecuted minority. We have suffered. We were brutalized. Yes, you were brutalized. Yes, not by Muslims. Not by Muslims. By Europeans. By Christians. They brutalized the Jewish people. They persecuted the Jewish people for almost 1,000 years. And where did the Jewish people survive is the question. With the Muslims. Even the Muslims don't know this today, because we don't read our history. The best, the most learned, the most sophisticated Jewish communities in the world lived under the protection of Islam throughout Muslim domain. From Spain to China, Muslims ruled land between China and Spain. And Muslims dominated the world politically for more than 1,000 years. This was the most powerful civilization in the world. And where did the Jewish people go? Jewish historians themselves, they confirm. Before Zionism, even before Zionism was born, there were Jewish historians writing on this. In the 19th century, there were Jewish historians writing on this. Before Zionism was formalized, that the golden age of the Jewish people was under Islam. In particular in Al-Andalus, in Spain, in Muslim Spain. For 300 years, the best Jewish scholars, Jewish poets, Jewish philosophers, Jewish theologians, Jewish politicians, Jewish prime ministers were born in Islamic Spain. The most powerful Muslim king in the history of Islamic Spain was a man called Abdurrahman III, who announced his caliphate in Spain from Cordoba, from the city of Cordoba, in 929 CE. And he was the most powerful king, not only in Europe, but potentially, possibly in the world at that time. His prime minister was a Jewish man called Hasda ibn Shaprut. Hasdai ibn Shaprut was his prime minister in Spain. And so powerful was he that he was helping the Jewish communities all over the world. He was using his influence as the prime minister of the most powerful king in Western Europe at the time, Muslim king, a caliph. He was the prime minister to caliph. Okay? So this propaganda, Zionist propaganda, that Muslims somehow, the Arabs, are anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic, is a lie. When you look at the history of Islam and the Muslim civilization, you will not find anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish policy. If the Muslims wanted to commit a genocide against the Jewish people, there would be no Jew alive in the world today. I can tell you that. Because the Jewish people could not live in Europe. They could not live in Europe. Europeans did not allow them to live with them. Europeans often committed mass murder against the Jewish communities of Germany, of France, and of Britain. The Jewish people were persecuted in Britain, in England. Okay, English kings repeatedly brutalized the Jewish community. In fact, the Third Crusade, when Richard the Lionheart was leaving for crusade for the Middle East, the crusade started with the Jewish people, the Jewish community of Britain. Then when the First Crusade was happening, when many crusaders were leaving Europe for the Middle East, for Palestine, on their way to Palestine, they destroyed the German Jewish community on the way. And when they took the city of Jerusalem, the crusaders in 1099 CE, even after that, Edward I, one of the most powerful English kings, who is buried in Westminster Abbey, who's buried in London, Westminster Abbey. If you go inside the abbey, you will see his tomb. It is written on his tomb, the hammer of the Scots. The hammer of the Scots. Because he hammered the Scots. Edward the Longshank, who is basically depicted in Mel Gibson's famous movie, you know, Braveheart. Very cruel king, English king. He banished the Jewish people from Britain. He took their money from them because he needed money to build his Welsh castles, and he drove out the Jewish. I can give you examples upon examples. Where did these Jewish people go when they were banished? They came to the Muslims. First to Al-Andalus. When Al-Andalus fell to Catholics, the Jewish people, they were given two choices. You convert or you die. Okay, very few escaped to Ottoman territories, and they became the most powerful Jewish community in the world under the Ottomans. The Ottomans have written, there are Ottoman historians who have written about this, how prosperous the Jewish communities of Istanbul or Constantinople or Constantinople and later on Islamabad and then Istanbul, how the Jewish communities lived in not only Istanbul but also in Jerusalem. The best, the most prosperous Jewish community in the world, okay, they were, during the Ottoman period, living in Jerusalem, freely. This is a topic in itself, how the Muslim civilization treated the Jewish people. So there is no evidence when the Zionists claim that this is an existential threat for them. You know, it's like criminals, thieves, you know, when they're about to steal something from someone, they start to tarnish the name of the victim. They start to tarnish the victim. Like, we're going to steal from them, and when we steal from them, they're going to make noise. They're going to make noise. So before they make noise, start to accuse them of something stupid. This is the game that's being played. Yes, the Jewish people were brutalized. Yes, absolutely, they were brutalized by Christendom, by Europeans, by the West. They suffered severely and they found refuge with the Muslim lands. So when the Muslims came in, when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh took the city of Jerusalem from the Byzantines, from the Romans, the Jewish people were allowed to come back to the land of Palestine for the first time after an absence of 500 years. 500 years the Jewish people could not live in the land of Palestine. And then after that, the Jewish people lived in the land of Palestine and other parts of the Muslim world as, you know, citizens of the Islamic world. They lived in peace and harmony. They flourished. There are so many testimonies from different places at different times that this requires a lecture in itself. From Morocco to Egypt to Libya to Tunisia to Algeria to Yemen to Syria to Iraq, as far as India, Jewish people lived under the protection of Islam and Muslims. The best and the oldest Jewish community in the world was in Iraq as late as 1930s. This Jewish community is the oldest, the purest Jewish community anywhere in the world. And they were there since the Babylonian exile that took place in the 6th century BC. Before Christ, the Jewish people, the Israelites, were taken by the Babylonian king to the land of Iraq, and they remained there even during the Muslim period. And this became the Jewish Academy of Baghdad, became the best Jewish academy. Darul Ifta of the Israelites from all around the world, when the Jewish people needed rulings from rabbis, you know who would they appeal to? They would appeal to the sages of Baghdad or the sages of Babylon. The rabbis in Babylon, in Baghdad, in Iraq, during the Muslim period. How did that happen? What changed in the 1930s? What changed is when European Jewish communities were persecuted by Europeans. Many Jewish activists, bankers, politicians, intellectuals were disturbed by anti-Semitism in Europe. You know, what happened in Germany didn't happen in a vacuum. There was a process. Every genocide has a process. Every genocide doesn't just happen. When you study any genocide in human history, you will see that there was a process behind that genocide. What people are saying about India now, the Muslims of India are facing the prospect of a genocide. And many genocide experts are warning. People who studied the Rwandese genocide that took place in 1994, whereby 1 million people were killed in Rwanda. Two Rwandese tribes fought each other, the Hutus and the Tutsis. 1 million people were killed in 100 days. In 100 days. That's approximately 10,000 people every day in 1994. And when people studied that phenomenon, experts on genocides, they said, no, this didn't just happen. People didn't wake up one day and say, okay, let's kill each other. No. There was a hate campaign that was going on for a very long time. This hatred boiled to such a level that the volcano erupted in 1994. Just like that. What's happening in India with Muslims today, many genocide experts are warning that there are stages of this process. Many stages have been passed already, and we are very close to a real prospect of a genocide in India against the Muslim people because of the hatred between the Hindus and the Muslims. And this hatred is being pumped by the current BJP government in India. They are specifically instigating for a genocide. So, this genocide that took place in Germany against the Jewish people, it has a background. It has European anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish sentiment behind it. And many Jewish intellectuals in the 19th century had realized it. One of them was an Austro-Hungarian journalist called Theodor Herzl. Theodor Herzl had realized that there is a lot of hatred against the Jewish people. And the solution is a state for the Jewish people that can protect the Jewish people. So he wrote a book titled The Jewish State. And then a conference was held in Geneva, in Switzerland. I don't know if it was in Geneva, in Switzerland. The first Zionist Congress or conference in 1897, whereby many like-minded people came together and they decided that they need a state of their own. And they all agreed upon this idea of Zionism. Then was born this ideology called Zionism. Zion means Palestine. And the idea was to go back to the land of Palestine and take it. By hook or by crook, take the land. Even though many of these Jewish intellectuals, some of whom were actually atheists, they didn't believe in Judaism as an ideology, but they had this idea that we are ethnically Jewish, we are the same people. We can't get rid of our ethnicity. We can't get rid of our blood, our DNA. Therefore, we are Jewish by that virtue, because we come from that origin. They didn't actually believe in the religion. Many of them were atheists or agnostics. Are you with me so far? Yes? Right? So, many of them were disturbed by this anti-Jewish sentiment, you know, blowing through Europe. Just like there is Islamophobia. Deliberately pumped Islamophobia. Similarly, we had anti-Semitism in Europe going on. And many of them were disturbed for the right reasons. So what do we do? The idea, the solution was, let's take the land of Palestine from the Palestinians. At the time, Muslims. So, they start to work towards acquiring that land. By hook or by crook. So, Theodor Herzl himself, he went to Sultan Abdul Hamid, the then Ottoman Sultan. And he offers him to free all his debts he owes to Europeans. The debt he owed to Europeans, we will pay off the debt. Just give us the land of Palestine. Sultan Abdul Hamid refused flatly. This is, by the way, recorded history. This is from the memoirs of Theodor Herzl himself. This is from his memoirs. Okay? Sultan Abdul Hamid refused. There was no real prospect of that. Then comes the First World War. Then comes the First World War. And in this World War, the British managed to take the land of Palestine. Why? How? Long story. What was the Zionist connection in this? A very good question. Okay? So again, this is where this group of extremists, this group of people called the Zionists, separate from the Jewish people. Jewish rabbis, Orthodox Jews, they don't believe in this. They did not favor this theory of a state, because they believe that a state can only be established when the Messiah comes. They are waiting for a Messiah. The Jewish people, the Orthodox Jewish rabbis, if you speak to an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, they will say that this is the state of Israel is basically anti-Jewish. It goes against basic Jewish ideas or ideals. This is not Jewish. It's not a Jewish enterprise. Yes, you will see many Orthodox Jews living in Israel, but they don't agree with it. And we have seen them lately in all these marches and protests, giving interviews that this is not in our name. What's happening here? We have nothing to do with it. So this is where this separation between Orthodox Jewish communities, Orthodox rabbis or Orthodox Jewish religion and Zionism takes place. This split. Zionists basically are a group of people who favor this idea of snatching, literally stealing away the land of Palestine by hook or by crook from the Palestinians. This is what the idea constituted. This was their modus operandi. This is what they wanted to do. And they made it happen. So, this group became very active politically. So active that in 1917, when General Allenby, a British colonial general, took the land of Palestine and the city of Jerusalem in 1917, the then Foreign Secretary of Britain called Arthur Balfour, for some reason, promises the land of Palestine to the Zionist community, not the Jewish community, to Zionists. Then the leader of the Zionists in Britain was Lord Rothschild. He writes this letter to Lord Rothschild and promises him that the land of Palestine will be given to you. This is not even now secret history anymore. This is not a conspiracy theory. Okay? There is an elderly Rothschild alive today. His name is Jacob Rothschild. He was interviewed lately. And he said, he boasted about it. Yes, it was my great uncle who was given the land of Palestine by Arthur Balfour. Why? What caused him to do that? Very good questions. I am sure the reasons are not very different to why Rishi Sunak today, the British Prime Minister, is singing one song: Israel has the right to defend itself. There are kids dying. There are children. Israel has the right to defend itself. There are women dying. Hospitals are being bombed. All international laws have been broken. This is war crime. Israel has the right to defend itself. This song, Israel has a right to defend itself. Israel has a right to defend itself. Israel has a right to defend itself. Every single Western leader is singing the same song. Same song. Despite the fact when you show them the pictures of children being ripped apart, hospitals being bombed, densely populated areas are being bombed by heavy technological destructive weapons, Israel has a right. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that statement mean? That they can go and kill children? They can commit a genocide? How many more people? 10,000 have been killed. Half of them children below the age of 10. Piles upon piles of dead bodies. And the world is watching. Their blood is water. Their blood is water. It has no value. They have been dehumanized by mainstream media. And until the Muslim world wakes up and starts talking about it, without breaking the law, without doing stupid things, without in your anger you start doing stupid... No, you have to control yourselves. This is the time to control yourselves. Remain calm and contained and do something effective about it. Talk about... Educate your people. Educate your people. Educate your children. Talk about the fadail of Al-Quds. Teach them about the value of Al-Quds. Masjid Al-Aqsa, which is mentioned in the Quran. Why is it holy for us? Why are these people, these children and women dying? For what? For what cause are they giving their lives? What is causing them to die and have a smile on their face? So teach them, educate your children, your youngsters. Go around the world and teach them the value. And you know what? Change will come from here, from the West. Change will come from here. You want to do something? Stop breaking the law. Understand the law. Because your enemies are using the law against you. We get angry. We start saying things. We start doing things that do not help us. That do not help us. We have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very intelligent. We have to look at the law, understand it, and then understand what our freedoms are. What can we do? And go accordingly. This is where the solution will come from. The solution will come from here. There are 3 million Muslims in Britain. There are millions of Muslims in the Western world. If we organize ourselves, if we educate our children enough, if we get involved in politics, if we start launching independent media platforms... Okay, social media is very powerful. Mainstream media is crying tears of blood. They can't do anything now. They can't change the public opinion because pictures are coming out. Videos are coming out. Shredded bodies of kids and children and infants are coming out. And people have conscience. The awareness that there is in the world today has never been like this before. Back in the day, it was only the BBC, Sky News and CNN giving you what's happening. No more, no longer. Everyone has this device in their hands and they're getting all the latest news on it. You can't hide facts from people anymore. So it's changing minds. So we need to educate ourselves and do things in an educated way. We have to understand that by sitting idle, not raising our voice, not raising our concern, not being active is not a solution anymore. You can't be selfish. You can't be going about your business, your shop, your taxi, your restaurant, your houses, your mortgages. Is this what life is about? No. No. Do what you can in your power. You know your capacity. But these are the areas to invest in. Education, journalism, independent media outlets, political activism. Use your influence, exert your influence, and you will see the change. You'll see people start changing, inshallah. Okay? So, the bottom line is, brothers, we've talked about the past, we have talked about the present. The situation right now is that the land of Palestine was, after Balfour Declaration, what came in was the British mandate. The British took the land of Palestine directly under their control. And the Zionist extremist terrorists, they started to blow up the British personnel. This is a bunch of extremists. This is a bunch of terrorists. In fact, the first Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, he was part of a group that was blowing up people, innocent people. Some British colonial officers were blown up. They were killed by this movement. So that this land is handed over to the Zionist movement very, very quickly. In 1948, long story short, after the British mandate, this land was given to the Zionists. And then for some reason, the League of Nations, also known as the United Nations, gave half the land of Palestine to the Zionists without any justification. Without any justification. Without any reasons. So the Palestinians, 1 million of them were driven out of their homes on gunpoint. Ethnic cleansing took place. These Zionist extremists were going into Arab villages, burning the villages, killing people in cold blood. There were mass graves found. Mass murder took place. In 1948, what is called the Nakba, the Great Catastrophe. And since then, it hasn't stopped. Inch by inch, brick by brick, foot by foot, neighborhood by neighborhood, house by house, the Zionist movement is confiscating territory from the Palestinians. By force. If you look at the map of Palestine starting from 1948 up to this point, you will see it shrinking. Shrinking. So the Palestinian people are being forced into small spaces like Gaza, the most densely populated area in the world, the largest concentration camp in the 21st century. Lo and behold, welcome to the civilized world. Welcome to the world of the civilized people. People who talk about equality, justice, rule of law. All of these Western politicians, these hypocrites, always talking about the rule of law, equality, justice, rule of law. Yes? Right under their supervision, the largest concentration camp in the world is operating, and now it's being bombed into pieces. Right under the supervision. Okay? So these are the last people to lecture us on being civilized. Okay, when this is the civilized world. Okay, civilized world. So when they came to Ukraine, okay, same people using principles forgot those principles when it came to Palestinians. You might have seen videos flying around on social media, right? These European politicians talking about the rights of the Ukrainian people. The women and children of Ukraine are being bombed by vicious, barbaric Russia. Yes? You might have heard, you might have seen those videos, right? Same people, when it comes to the Palestinians, they have changed the language. Now they want to talk about interpretation of events. They want to talk about facts on the ground. We're not sure what's happening. We don't know the numbers. We don't know what's actually happening. We don't know. We don't know who to believe. For some reason, they can't believe facts, pictures, videos coming out. They don't know. These hypocrites and liars. So, since then, 1948, and one point I want to highlight very quickly, for 1,300 years, the Jewish people lived side by side with the Muslims. Side by side with the Muslims. What happened in the 1930s? All of a sudden, this changes. You know why? Because the state of Israel was created, and now those actions of the Zionists were making it very difficult for the Jewish people living in Muslim lands to feel safe anymore. So they were forced to move to the state of Israel. Many of them had businesses. They had family, you know, relations with Muslims. They had good, you know, good things going with the Muslims from Morocco all the way to India. Large Jewish communities in places like Morocco, Libya, Egypt, Yemen. All of them, they started to move to Israel. You know why? Because they're not there because they wanted to move to Israel. Because it became so difficult because of the atrocities being committed by the Zionist movement in Palestine. They were forced to move. And they were actually bullied to move to Israel. And today, many of them, their children, are speaking up. Not every Israeli citizen is in favor of what the government is doing. This government consists of a bunch of racist, genocidal maniacs who are a bunch of fools, to put it in simple terms. How can you do this and expect the world to accept this? How can you shred children? How can you put them in a grinder? It's like throwing a child into a washing machine. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine putting a child into a grinder? You know a grinder? What does a grinder do? It grinds, right? This is what they're doing to children. They're bombing densely populated buildings. When those buildings collapse, they collapse on top of children. We have seen children with their heads open. We have seen children with their legs missing. We have seen children with the, you know, they are in Jannah. We believe they are in paradise. You haven't done anything to them. We will see them. We will see them in the next life. Inshallah. These children will take their parents to paradise. Okay? But what are you showing the world? What kind of fools are you that you will commit atrocities like this and you will think the world will accept it? You will gain more points. You will last. Finally, I want to say, what is the future? What is the future? We know the situation today, what's happening right now. Okay? And we want to clarify that we do not agree with anyone killing any civilians. We don't kill. Islam is plainly, flatly against that. This is not about the conflict between two military groups. This is not about that. This is about the people and their rights. What about the people, the civilians, the children and women? What about them? What about their right to that land? Will they ever get their land back? Okay. What about apartheid against the Palestinian people? What about the systematic theft of their homes? Zionists coming from New York, Australia, Canada, occupying houses of Palestinians. What business do they have in these places? They don't even believe in God, these people. And they take a flight from Canada, Australia, and the US, or even from Britain. They go into a neighborhood with settlers and they drive out a Palestinian family and take the house. What business do you have there? What right do you have over that land? Imagine coming into a house and driving the entire family to live in the toilet and force them to drink from sewer. This is what's happening. That's the situation right now. And it cannot go on for long. Believe me. Okay? This kind of oppression, history has taught me. I'm a student of history. History has taught me this kind of oppression cannot last. It will never go on forever. It will end. Okay? Every oppressor, every zalim, every tyrant, every genocidal maniac eventually self-destructs. This is self-infliction before anything else. These people who are bombing children in Gaza, they are killing their souls before they kill a child. They are killing any claim to humanity, any claim to anything decent. They are killing that before they kill a child. When they shoot the rocket, when they send the rocket to a hospital, to a civilian area, they are already dead. These people are dead, spiritually dead. They have no life, they have no mind, they have no brain, they have no moral values. They are finished. And when people become like that, selfish, sadistic animals, when they become like that, they cannot last very long. I can guarantee you that. I'm a student of history. No civilization, no dynasty, no king, no establishment, however powerful it may be, lasted when it started to inflict such oppression on other people, on vulnerable, helpless people. So the good news, the future is bright. The future is bright. This is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the end. What they have done this time, the Israeli regime, the Zionists, what they have done this time, okay, is going to eventually cause them to fall against them. Their own people will tell them, not in our names. Enough is enough. We don't want this. We don't want this land. We don't want these homes. We don't want this. We don't want to kill people. How are you going to kill all Palestinians? Are you going to nuke them? How far are you going to go? You've killed 10,000. You want to kill another 10,000? Another 10,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, 100,000? You're still not going to be done. You still have nearly 2 million left. You're going to nuke them? Where are you going with this? How far are you going to go with this? These are the questions we have to ask. So, the glad tiding is that you feel angry, you feel frustrated, you want... You want to help your brothers and sisters? Do that. Do that within the boundaries of the law. Okay, there's a lot you can do. And leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your best in your capacity, with your education, with your influence, okay, with your reach, wherever you can reach. Do as much as you can. Without, again, to emphasize the point, breaking the law. Okay? And watch Allah do what he does. This is the beginning of the end of this tyrant, genocidal, apartheid regime. Okay? Because people like this, who have no compassion, who have no mercy, no sense of justice, no sense of value for human life, they cannot last very long. Their days are numbered. Their days are numbered. Okay? They will face Allah's justice in this world and in the hereafter. Jazakumullah khairan for listening. Thank you so much. And I will take questions, inshallah, if you have any questions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.